Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time? Doesn't matter what the scenario. Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Jimmy Jewelry.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretch.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
I'm ready for this. It's a football Friday. And let me tell you something. Not that I'm breaking any news here, but a lot of positive would come with the Dolphins beating the Texans on Sunday. Right?
Yes, it would.
Your mic's not connected. But a lot of positives would come. I could tell by the first laugh. I don't know how we can't get into the habit of checking this before you come on.
There's no way to check it if Crowder signs on during the show.
Hey, this is inside information. Don't need to be released.
Sorry, but Hawk is quickly throwing me under the bus there, and I
no, 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 no. I was talking
it,
to but... him. I was talking to him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, well,
I check when before I go on the air. No joke. I check that because there's a bunch of drop downs for the microphone, and I always check to make sure it's the right one. It's just kind of habit. I always check to make sure the right microphone is tabbed.
I got to go to settings and all. There's a lot of buttons to push.
The weird thing
really
is
one.
The weird thing is, Hawk, every time you check, you're just double checking to be sure. Do you ever, like, how often are you actually having to change and configure settings?
One, you know, every now and then you do, it's shutdown, add updates, and then shutdown and restart. Like, every now and then it'll zip back to where, but it's maybe 4 times in a year. But I'm being extra cautious. You know what it is? I'm guessing you called the wrong defense a number of times because you just weren't paying attention to what they were telling you in your headphones, in your helmet.
No. When they signal it in and they tell me in my helmet, because I was old school, we used to signal it in. I would always call the defense the coach directed. But let me tell you, Monday I was in Davie. Tuesday I was in Houston. Wednesday I was in Davie. Thursday I was in New Jersey. And now Friday I'm in Davie. So when I reconnect, disconnect, all this stuff, you know, I have a very integral schedule.
Right. There's a lot of booting and rebooting going on.
Yeah, man, I don't know how this works. I can't even, man, it took me 25 minutes to figure out how to watch a movie last night on the plane.
Today, speaking of movies, today is the 5-year anniversary of Uncut Gems. And let me tell you something. I tweeted this out. A better movie has not been released since.
I'm sure we could find 12 could or 15. Not.
In the past five years. And it's possible, I'd have to go back and really check, but it's possible a better movie had never been released prior. What?
You're crazy.
Top five movie of all time.
It is not.
It is.
No, that's opinion. There's no one in the world that says Uncut Gems is the top five movie other than you.
I literally just said it to you.
Other than you. There's no human that believes that.
I also believed Odell Beckham Jr. was going to be a big part of the Dolphins' offense.
He had 8 catches.
So I do believe the Dolphins beating the Texans Sunday would go a long way. Obviously, not just to get to the playoffs, but, you know, we talked about it yesterday with narratives and storylines. It does all that. So we want to talk about that today. I do want to talk about OBJ. My take is, and I was telling Solana before the show, you could do a Tate Martell montage, how I talked up Tate Martell. You could do one with my takes on OBJ. So yeah. I was a big proponent of him coming to the team. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he thought he would be getting all the balls and packages that Janu has ended up getting. I yes. think he thought that would be him. And after it became more and more apparent that it goes Tyreek, Jalen, Janu, and then you're going to fight for scraps with River Craycraft and Devon Achane out of the backfield. And I just think he was like, yeah, there is no scenario where I'm getting the ball enough. Now, obviously, it's probably based on what Mike McDaniel and the coaches see and Tua sees, perhaps. Perhaps he's not able to get any separation, or perhaps he dropped a bunch of balls that came his way at the beginning. There's a lot at play here, but anyway, he's gone.
Yeah. No, no, no. I'll tell you, Tate Martell, I was more on your side than OBJ. OBJ, it made sense where, okay, Waddle's doubled, Tyreek's doubled. Now he's going to have one-on-ones all day. To your point, if you have a one-on-one and can't beat it, then you're
that like, there's no advantage.
We should gave Jimmy $3 million. Like it's, right. He's not getting open. You know what I'm saying? It didn't work out. I like that they separated ways or whatever. But he was frustrated, and they were like, "Yeah, we don't need you to run this offense. You're mad. Hey, well, let's just make this divorce final. It's fine."
Ryan Sense from Funky Buddha has just texted me that he doesn't believe Uncut Gems is in Adam Sandler's own top five.
I'm with him.
No, that's ridiculous.
Uncut Gems is not a good movie. Not a
great
movie. The
fact that he was not nominated for an acting Oscar is honestly a stain on the entertainment industry.
Okay, so the Oscar committee doesn't believe it. No one believes it.
Yeah, everybody got it wrong.
No, everybody but you in the world.
If you don't have Uncut Gems in Sandler's own top five, what are we even doing here?
We're talking about good movies and bad movies. We're having an honest conversation as men.
Trying to think of what's better. I mean, his movies are silly.
Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison.
Silly.
Silly. And Uncut Gems.
I know what Solana's about to say.
I love 51st Dates so much, man.
We know.
Waterboy.
Spanglish, sure.
Oh, Spanglish is so good.
Grown Ups. I don't know if he's in that. Is he in Spanglish?
Yeah, he's the chef in Spanglish.
Yeah. Three Men and a Baby. That's a good one.
Is that Sandler?
Nah.
Oh, okay. No, Hawk. I think it touches close to your heart.
Oh, it does.
But it's not a great movie. It's just a
movie. It's a great movie. He doesn't make great movies. He makes good movies. He makes entertaining movies. He makes fun movies. He doesn't make great movies. And Uncut Gems was a great movie, which is why it automatically vaults to the top of the Sandler list.
Of your list.
I just gave you facts. He doesn't make great movies.
That's all opinions of what you said.
No, those are facts.
All of his silly, quote unquote, as you say, movies are better than that. They're better than that movie.
Stop. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Huck, I'm sorry if today's the day you have to admit it. Uncut Gems.
I'm not admitting it. Today, I'm celebrating it. I'm celebrating it.
It's just an okay movie. It's worth watching. It's called worth watching. If you had to put
Jimmy, it looks like you're about to burst at the seams. Jimmy, is there something you want to say?
Uncut Gems is overrated.
Wow.
It's not overrated. It's properly rated by everybody outside
it's
of Mark
actually
Hockman.
Underrated.
Yes, it's rated correctly.
Mm-mm.
It's a movie that was released.
It was indeed a movie that was released.
That's exactly where it fits.
Heat handled their business last night. I lost a 3-leg parlay by a hook. I parlayed.
Oh, I saw that.
Tyler Hero over 23.5 points. Jimmy Butler under 19, which was the lock of the year. That one made me laugh. And Bam to make 1-3. Bam makes a 3 at the end. Here's the thing, Solana, because I was kind of half watching Thursday Night Football, half watching the Heat. So I was at a bar. A buddy of mine's in from out of town. So we're sitting at Beer Garden, and both games are up, and I'm watching the Heat game without sound. There's like 5 or 6 minutes left, and I'm kind of looking at the TVs. And I go, you know what? Tyler had 21 at that point. I go, Tyler's not even out there. You've got to hone in on the white guys because the TVs are like, the color's not great at the bar, you know? And so I'm like, okay, there's 2 white guys out there. And I'm like, is that Tyler? I'm like, nah, that's Jovich. And I said to Lori, my friend, I'm like, that's it. I'm not going to cover this parlay because Tyler's not coming back in the game. And then he came back in the game. It was like 4.5 minutes to go. I don't know why they put him in, and he makes a bucket. And I would have preferred that Spo didn't even put him in because he made the bucket to get it to 23. And first of all, it's Thursday night. It's like 10 o'clock or whatever. There's very few people in there. And I'm just screaming, that's a foul, even though he wasn't close to foul. But I just want to send him to the line. Why did he come back in, Solana?
So Bam took over the fourth quarter. He scored 9 straight points to start the fourth for the Miami Heat, and the Heat were up 20 points. Then, with like 5 minutes to go in the game, Raptors start to mount a little bit of a run. The game was done, but it got to the point with like 4.5 minutes left.
It was still like 12 or something.
It got down to like 14. They went on like an 8-1 or 9-1 run. Spo had to call a timeout. And it was one of those things where it was like, hey, go get us a bucket and just end this game for us, which he literally did. He came out. He went right at the paint. Nobody got near him. This Jakob Poeltl just let him blow right by him. Tyler laid it up, and that was it. The game was over.
Killed me. Anyway, and the Panthers lost late night last night. We can do headlines here because Josh Bell is going to join us this hour. Lee Sterling is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. We've got one more $50 Twin Peaks gift card to give away today. We've been giving one away every day this week. This is the final day. $50 you could win at Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Do that sometime before 6 o'clock. Quick look at the headlines with Solana. Brought to you by Dorel Volkswagen. At Dorel Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Dorel Volkswagen.
What the hell happened with the Panthers last night? 4-0.
I fell asleep, so.
I was on the plane.
I mean, at least put up a fight, bro. I mean, you go out on the West Coast.
Where were they? Vancouver?
Yeah, Vancouver.
Tough to play. Altitude.
Huh.
Mm-mm.
No. Hmm. Give it a shot.
Any altitude in Calgary that you're aware of?
I don't know.
I don't know there's not altitude in Vancouver. I just never heard that said before in my life.
Nah, there's
Vancouver, man. There's the airspin.
Nah, there's that's definitely a mountainous region, I would say.
You have no idea. You would say you're guessing.
Vancouver, for sure. Mountainous region. Book it.
I think that might be near the Rockies. The Canadian Rockies. Mm-hmm. No?
I'll text Pizzola just to double check. Panthers play.
I texted him yesterday about the Canadian postal strike. He doesn't want to hear from me again.
The Panthers do play Calgary tomorrow at 10 p.m., part of this West Coast road trip that they're on. They're going to play the Oilers on Monday. We'll be on Monday to lead into it, but that is a rematch of the Stanley Cup Final.
All right.
The Miami Heat did beat the Raptors last night. They ended up winning by 10. So Jimmy Butler played.
The line was 10 or 10 and a half, depending on when you put it in.
It closed at 10, or at least the last time I looked at it, like 15 minutes before game time, it was at 10. So if you got it in at 10, you're happy. If you got it in at 10 and a half and you picked over, well, sorry. Jimmy ends up with 11 points. Bam has 21. He took over the fourth, 13 points in the fourth. Tyler had 23. But how about Nico Jovic? This was the Nico Jovic game. For those of you who didn't watch, dude hasn't played in weeks. Lost his job in the starting rotation, in the starting five. Has not played in weeks. And yesterday, second quarter, the Heat are down 16 points. Nico Jovic checks into the game. They're down 41-25, 8:37 left in the second quarter. He goes 3 of 3 from the floor, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, scores 11 points, plus 23 in those 8 minutes and 37 seconds, and the Heat up 58-51 going into halftime. The Nico Jovic quarter.
I heard Tobin and Leroy talking about it earlier, and I just hated that it happened because now Solana is smiling ear to ear because it was one quarter of him being right.
I mean, it is funny, though. I mean, Solana's going to just easily gloss over Jimmy's 11 points after what he thought was going to be some sort of statement, you know, the shut-up game, and all his energy is now focused on Nico Jovic, who's not scheduled to make $52 million next year.
Andrew
three
Smith.
Three of four from the line, plus 23 in that time. Come on, man. Dude went out and had him a good little run.
Hey, Crowder, there's still a spot open for you. Right now, though, all right, on the Drew Smith Brigade, okay? We're assembling the Drew crew, and I'm giving you one last chance to jump in on this train. Drew crew, okay. We've got one spot remaining. If you don't join it now, I don't want to hear any Drew Smith praise out of you come June in the NBA Finals. I don't want to hear
it. Get my ticket away.
Well, do you want some time to think about it?
I'm fine. I'm done. Give my ticket out. Jimmy, give it to Jimmy. Jimmy, you want it?
Nah, I'm okay.
The Miami Heat are off until Monday. Odell Beckham.
We'll throw that in with the Twin Peaks gift card. You get whatever train Solana's on. You get to go.
All right.
Twin Peaks and Drew Crew.
All right. If you don't want to be part of the Drew Crew now, don't talk to me in June when Drew Smith is playing 30 minutes in the NBA Finals and locking up Luka Doncic.
Couldn't even finish that without laughing.
Get it out himself. Make everybody forget my OBJ takes before the season.
Did you see the per sportsbetting.ag, the odds are out for Odell Beckham Jr.'s next team? You know who the favorite is?
I don't know. I saw that email and I just immediately deleted it because now why would I ever care about OBJ ever again?
Just guessing one of his prior teams.
Rams.
What is it? Go back to the Rams or who was he? Who was before that? The Ravens? Ravens, Rams?
Ravens, Rams, and Browns, I think, before that. No, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the favorite at 3-1. Commanders second, and then the Chiefs are third.
Mm. Yeah. No, because they watched him play. I don't know if he gets on the team that fast. I don't think he's signed tomorrow.
Well, anyways, the OBJ era has come to an end for the Miami Dolphins, and his stats are interesting, to say the least. Odell Beckham Jr., 9 catches, 55 yards, 0 touchdowns, and as Hal Habib tweeted minutes after he was waived, that surmounts to $333,333 per catch.
Is it that surmounts to?
I don't think so. That sounded wrong as it came out of my mouth.
I don't think surmounts.
You know, when we talk about OBJ with the Dolphins in the future, there's going to be a question mark at the end.
Yeah, no OBJ one's going to remember.
Play for the Dolphins?
Yep, 100%. 100% yeah, right. No, aren't there some Heat guys like that? Like, who's a Heat guy that you go, huh, he played for the Heat?
Patrick Beverley.
Well, that I remember. Did he ever play?
I don't
or
think
he was just drafted.
I don't think he was ever. He ever played in a regulation game, but he was on the team.
Like who played? Obviously, Eddie Curry played.
Eric Dampier. Eric Dampier played for the Heat.
Eric Dampier. That's a good one. I like that game, and OBJ will be that one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thurman Thomas. Thurman Thomas played for the Dolphins.
Yes.
Most people don't remember that.
No, not at all.
Kind of a Jordan Poyer situation. Surmounts is to overcome a difficulty or obstacle.
That was used wrong.
What did you say? His total number of catches
surmounted
to 350,000. Yeah. I don't think that was right.
Yeah, it wasn't. But thanks for double checking there, Hawk. I greatly appreciate that. And as far as Sunday versus...
My guy Ariel from Cricket Outdoor Living, Penny Hardaway.
Did play for
Penny
the
Heat? Penny Hardaway played for the Heat?
Yes.
I don't even remember that.
07, I believe.
Penny?
Mm-hmm.
For the entire season?
I don't know, man. That was a tough year. We'd have to go back and check. I don't remember how many games he played.
You remember Penny Hardaway playing for the Heat?
I mean, I was down here. That was right after Wade and Shaq's championship.
Yeah, 07. I think it was the year that either it was that year after they won the title and he came off the bench, or it was the following year where the Heat won 15 games.
They played 16 games for Miami for the Heat. Huh. That was his final stop.
Penny played for the Heat?
Mm-hmm.
Played 16 games for the Heat. That's a good one.
OBJ played for the Dolphins? You gotta do that emphasis at the end. The Heat?
The Dolphins are 3-point dogs in Houston. And as far as Tron Armstead goes, pessimism from Mike McDaniel. Not too sure about it. But Barry Jackson, I'm just reading his tweets here. McDaniel did express optimism on Kendall Lamb playing on Sunday, but Lamb did talk to the media today, said he's playing through a back injury.
All right. Hopefully he can surmount that problem.
All right. Your weather from the DeMesmin and Dover law firm.
I don't know if they can surmount these Texans. I just
call them 866-954
more. It's like Talana going, all right.
Can tell it's going to be one of those shows today, huh?
I didn't say he surmounted whatever his total was.
Yeah, let's surmount these headlines.
Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida today. Still a little chilly outside. You said it was going to get warmer today, Hawk, but it's not.
I know. I lied. I was wrong about that and OBJ and Tate Martell. All right. Anything else?
That's your weather.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hey, Hawk, how was the Civil War?
Hawk and Crowder.
Josh Appel is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We love talking to Appel. He's our fill-in host. He's also a national play-by-play announcer for Sports USA, and he'll be on the call this Sunday for Commander Saints in New Orleans. By the way, before we talk a little football and nonsense with Appel, if you're looking for Canes or Dolphins merch this holiday season, check out Caneswear in Davie on University Drive or online at caneswear.com. You're going to New Orleans, Appel. You're not like a seafood guy, if I recall. Will you go? Like, are there any spots that you go in New Orleans? Drago's for oysters. Crowder and I like going to Drago's.
Yes.
what else? Cafe Du Monde for beignets, or maybe you just get a po' boy somewhere on what is that? Canal Street or Bourbon Street?
Don't go on Bourbon Street. Canal's okay. Bourbon is a little vomity.
Where are you going, Appel?
Well, first of all, it's great to be with you guys, Unc. Did I do that right?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, young fellow.
You guys,
thank you, young blood.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys and Unc work. We'll work on it.
There was so many of you, and I was trying to do it, and then call back. It didn't work out. I'm glad you brought up Drago's. I'm glad you brought up Drago's. That is the only place that I will go to eat any type of oyster. Mm. I love the broiled oysters at Drago's. Yes. And I've already talked to my broadcast partner, Brandon Noble. We are going there for dinner tomorrow night. Every time we have a game in New Orleans, that's where we go. I was put onto it by the former baseball staff at USF. They used to all work at Tulane. They put me on to Drago's. We go there every time. It's amazing.
That's shocking to me because that doesn't seem like his type of place. You know what I mean? Like he likes something plain. Like those oysters come out and there's a lot of stuff going on there.
I've expanded the palate a little bit. I'm 30 years old now.
All right. Well, like, I love to hear it.
We have to do a show dinner or lunch at what's it called? Shuck and Dive.
I'm in.
They're better than you've been to Shuck and Dive in Fort Lauderdale.
You're gonna say it's better than Drago's in New Orleans?
It's better than Drago's.
Crowder.
Hawk.
Crowder.
Hawk.
Unc.
Young blood.
I don't know what I wanted to say.
So I said this at the beginning of the show, Appel. The Dolphins, they're in Houston Sunday. I know this is the, stating the obvious. This is a big game. Every game for the Dolphins, you know, for the rest of the season is a big game. And we've gone kind of back and forth all week. Crowder seems to be leaning towards he doesn't expect a surprise thrashing by the Dolphins. I kind of feel like they have a chance to win this game. Solana has kind of sold me on it. 1 o'clock in a dome like that is Tua's wheelhouse. How do you envision Sunday playing out?
I think we'll see a lot of what we've been seeing from Tua Tagovailoa, as long as the Dolphins backup tackles can figure out a way to contain Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. That's my biggest concern going into Sunday for the Dolphins, is whether or not they can protect while missing. I'm assuming Teron Armstead's not going to play. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not yet, but can Patrick Paul and Kendall Lamb hold up against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter? That's going to be the biggest thing for me. I am also a little concerned about how the defense looked last week against Aaron Rodgers. CJ Stroud has been a bit inconsistent this season, but Nico Collins is back. Tank Dell, obviously. Like I could see, and Joe Mixon's had a great year. Like I could see the Dolphins defense having some issues with them. But look, mid-December road game for Tua in a dome, for the Dolphins in a dome. They're not going on the road and playing in the cold. I think they've got a shot to score with Houston, but it's one of those games where, like, until they win a game like this, I'm not going to go in and saying, you know what? This is one that they're going to get, but they've been playing really well. So we'll see, at least offensively they have. So,
and John, I'm glad you said mid-December road game, take out the road game on it. I think my thought is the mid-December thing where last year, Kansas City late, Buffalo late, they're in the playoffs, the Tennessee game was a late game. It's almost like, I guess I'm expecting them to break down. Is that the wrong look at it? Because I've seen it now for years where they're right there in the hunt. AFC team, Houston is an AFC potential playoff team, and you've seen them break down in this last month of the season.
I don't know if you should expect it, but you certainly shouldn't be surprised if it happens, right? Like, because some of these games that they, you know, I was thinking off the top of my head, the snow game in Buffalo a couple years ago, they lost that game, but that we all left that game thinking, wow, like this team can hang with the best teams in the AFC. So, like, some of these games, they go on the road and lose in December. They look ugly, but sometimes they just lose a close game. So I don't know if it's as much throwing up on themselves or just, you know, losing the teams that are better. The only December game that they won in a situation like this is that Dallas game last year. And I think I've said this to you guys on the show before, but Crowder, you brought up the Tennessee game last year. I would just love to know the alternate timeline of what happens if the Dolphins don't lose that game to Tennessee. They win the division. They have a home playoff game against like Tennessee, or not Tennessee, against Pittsburgh. I'd love to just know the alternate timeline of what would happen. Maybe they lose in the second round, but like
it's the old Drew Brees, Dante Culpepper question.
Right.
Like literally one decision or one moment, one outcome can change a decade or more of your entire sports fandom and the franchise. Like it's really that they're up 14 and there's what? Three minutes left.
3 minutes left.
I mean, they're up 14. Is the entirety, are we having a totally different conversation today? Everything that Solana loves to rely on about Tua, you're shaking your head, Solana. You don't think it would have changed anything?
Here's the thing. To just simply look at that Tennessee game and say, oh, well, the Dolphins blew a 14-point lead late, and that's why they lost. And okay, that is why they lost. However, if you go back and you look at the game, the Miami Dolphins against the Tennessee Titans, who were entering with three games below 500, it was tied at the end of three quarters. I'm sorry, Tennessee had a 13-10 lead after three quarters. The Dolphins didn't play well in that game. They didn't. No, Tennessee
but they
gifted
were still
them
in position to win with 3 minutes to go. You could salt away a 14-point lead 99% of the time.
They were, but it was a 13-13 game with 5 minutes and 34 seconds left before the Dolphins scored a touchdown.
Look,
Tennessee fumbles the football in their own red zone, and Miami gets to go and put in another touchdown. That was the reason they were in that game. It was still another example of the Dolphins playing poorly late in the season against a below-average team at home.
No doubt. Like that's all true, but I think you can look at some of the games this year and just in general how underdogs have done against some of the better teams. I'm just going to Carolina the last five games, Carolina the last 3 weeks. Like just because a team has a record, a bad record, does not mean they can't be competitive in these games. All I'm saying is I'm not like trying to nitpick what went wrong in that specific game. I'm just saying that feels like the jump off point to like psychologically, are we viewing this season a lot differently if we're talking about a team last year that won the AFC East and won 100%. A playoff game?
Then everybody,
right, that's all I'm saying.
You go, oh, your quarterback got injured. It happens. Like then you're willing to write it off. Now it just compounds, you know. It's one of those moment things.
If my aunt had a swiper, she'd be my uncle too.
Right. That is the truth. Like you could do this for sports up and down, but it's not what happened. Like if Odell Beckham Jr. had broken two of those nine receptions for touchdowns, would he still be on the team? And you know.
If Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo don't get hurt in the NBA bubble, can Crowder hold over me that Jimmy Butler has never won an NBA title? We could do that with anything.
How did
if
you
Crowder stuck around Florida one more season? He's got a national championship ring.
We could have drafted Tom Brady in the third round.
I mean, we can do this all day long.
If Crowder stays at Florida next year, this show might not even exist. How about that?
It's very possible because he wouldn't have ended up in Miami. 100%.
There you go. 100%.
If I didn't get arrested three times, I would have went higher in the draft and probably not to Miami.
Afternoons on QAM is probably Smark Your Territory in a different alternate universe.
It's a joke for three people.
Have you listened to this show?
It's a great joke.
So Josh, you know, he calls NFL games nationally. You watch a lot of games. There was a debate on Get Up yesterday, which I found fascinating because Bill Belichick, they announced him at UNC yesterday and they were debating the Bears, the Saints, the Jets. They all fired head coaches during the season. Bill Belichick obviously wanted to coach somewhere, anywhere, just wanted to coach. Did the Bears, the Jets, or the Saints make a mistake in not hiring Bill Belichick?
No. I don't think so. I think for the Bears, their mistake was just hanging on to Eberflus for a season too long, right? Like, if they end up with Ben Johnson out of this, like, that's the type of head coach they need to go hire. Like,
Better than Bill Belichick.
I saw how things ended in New England. I saw what that offense looked like. He was having Matt Patricia call plays. Like, I don't know if that meshes with developing a quarterback like they have to in Caleb Williams. So that's why I think like a more of a Ben Johnson type will be great for them if that's the direction they end up going. I think for Bill, the Saints' job is terrible. Like, they are so screwed with their cap situation moving forward. They're like something like $80 million over the cap going into the next year, to the point where I think Darren Rizzi might have a real chance at removing the interim tag and getting the full-time job, because it's just not an attractive place for a coach to want to go and attach themselves to. What was the third team you brought up?
Saints, Jets, Bears.
The Jets, I mean, that's not even football related.
The Bears, to me, is the one that jumped out, because he would have worked with a quarterback, Caleb Williams, where maybe you go, hey, look what he did with Tom Brady. If you think Caleb Williams is the next great thing, why wouldn't you at least try to pair him with Belichick for a couple of seasons?
But what's that staff going to look like? Is that Joe Judge coaching quarterbacks? Is that Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia having the play calling? Like, I don't know. I just feel like the Patriot way has kind of evaporated in the NFL. Like, it's been talked about ad nauseum, but like, all the assistants that get head coaching jobs flame out. We saw what happened with Josh McDaniels and his second go around. Like, that style doesn't mesh anymore. And that's one of the things I'm interested in seeing, how it works at the college level, how kids react to that style of coaching, and if he's going to bring those same guys, those same assistants with him to Chapel Hill. I'm really interested to see how that turns out. I think he's going to like coach circles and scheme circles around, respectfully, like Mario Cristobal and guys like that. I think schematically it's a great fit because of just what's happening in that conference. But I do wonder talent retention and then trying to get guys to come there after people hear about what's going on in that program, you know, how that's going to work out moving down the line. I think it's incredibly interesting, obviously. That's a real hot take. I think it's interesting, Belichick getting hired at UNC. I just don't know how it's going to go. I'm not going to say one way or the other.
I need to let you out. That's my question. So you have to figure out, is it going to work? Because when he did his press conference, he brought in Mike Lombardi, who they were saying it like, and somebody asked, you know, it's a great question, like, you're trying to run this like NFL team. They kept saying salary cap. You don't have a salary cap in college, but now with NIL, you really do have a salary cap. You have to decide which players to pay, which players to develop, which players to go get in free agency, which free agency is the transfer portal. They kind of talked about it, and he talked about it in the press conferences. He's approaching this like it's the NFL. I think, to your point, can Dabo Swinney put an offense together that Bill Belichick can't figure out? No. But does Bill Belichick want to do the other side of it? Going and sitting in a junior guard's living room, or going to recruit some safety out of Texas, and also have to go and do the schematics. You have to answer. Do you think it works? Because I don't think Bill Belichick, I don't think this is going to work, because I don't think he wants to do everything it takes to be a head coach in college, not the NFL.
I think everything that you said is true, but I also think that the college game has changed so much over the last few years that, is it really important that you go and sit in a living room anymore? Or is it more important that you can say, hey, here's $2.5 million, come play quarterback at UNC, right? Like, screw a conversation in the living room. Like, the game's changed. And like, this idea too, that he's going to bring an NFL style to Chapel Hill, and it's like this new phenomenon in college. Greg Schiano's the coach at Rutgers, right? Like, we have so many former pro coaches, and like Saban runs an NFL culture at Alabama. Like, that Bill Belichick is some, a trailblazer in bringing this type of program building to the college ranks is funny to me. Like, it hasn't been done before. It's currently being done at a number of programs in college. I don't know how Mike Lombardi's going to, like, scouting college kids who are freshmen and sophomores who have only played a little bit at the previous schools who you think are good is a lot different, I feel like, than scouting guys for the draft where you have all that film on them. I'm super interested to see how it goes. I feel like there's not really going to be an in-between. It's either going to be a really successful run for him there, or it's going to be an absolute disaster.
And I don't think it can be a really successful run in year one. That's the thing. I don't think next season can be a really successful run.
I would argue that maybe he's got the best shot in year one at making it a successful run, because the unknown of what his college coaching style, what his program is going to be like. So there are going to be people who are going to be interested in coming to play there and being sold on, hey, look what SMU did. Look at how close Miami came. Look at Clemson. Like, there's a real path in the ACC for a team like UNC, if they can bring the talent in, to go to the college football playoff. Now, after a year and people start to hear about how he runs that program, maybe kids are less inclined to go there. Maybe that starts to taper off a bit. I think year one might be the best chance they have, potentially. Could be way wrong about that, too, but...
Real quick, Appel, because we're out of time, but today is the five-year anniversary of perhaps the greatest movie of all time, Uncut Gems. What is your take on that movie?
Never seen it.
Wow.
My dad told me that it is it's in the top three of most unpleasant experiences he's ever had watching a movie.
Yes. That's part of the like, it's why you ride a roller coaster. You know what I mean? Like,
no, but a roller coaster is fun.
It shows the movie. No, but you're on edge. You're going over that roller coaster drop for the entire movie.
It's more like going to the bathroom at the middle of the drop.
The entire movie, if from what I'm hearing is true, like you get up to the very top and then you start to go and you just stop right at the peak and you just sit there for an hour and a half.
Yeah,
upside down.
Gas station bathroom is more of the comparison.
That's part of the fun of why you go to a gas station bathroom on the road. Like, what am I walking into, and can I survive this, and what are going to be the ramifications when this is all over?
Like butt rash.
Yeah, you feel all that. Well, go see the movie, Appel. Watch the movie on your way to New Orleans.
Probably not.
Well, what are you going to do? You're going to study Commander's game film.
Listen, can Jake Haner pull off the upset? And
he's got a weird picture.
He does have an interesting set of headshots from last year.
Yeah. It looked like an actor playing the role of an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, like one of those like straight to Netflix or straight to Amazon Prime.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. All right, Josh Appel, he is a national broadcaster for Sports USA. He'll be on the call Sunday, Commanders and Saints from New Orleans. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Unks.
He still don't got it.
Does anybody call UNC Unk?
No.
Well, maybe I'll start to become a fan of theirs. I'll have Unk on my hat. All right, there you go. Josh Appel. More Hockman and Crowder in a moment.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Britney Spears and her husband have separated.
You seen those videos lately?
Can't stop watching them.
Hawk and Crowder.